Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
All right, we have 9 minutes with our next guest. And maybe it's because I grew up, Guy Lafleur was my idol, and I love Larry Robinson, especially after he took apart Dave Schultz, or maybe it's because Brendan Gallagher plays for the Montreal Canadiens, but I always keep my eye on the Habs, and I don't think anybody saw this at the start of the year, or maybe they did. Today, the Montreal Canadiens fired Claude Julien. This after the Montreal Canadiens started the year 4-0-2. They've dropped five of their last six games. Joining us, one of the most plugged-in men in La Belle Provence for the last decade plus, we welcome back to the show with the Athletic out of Montreal, Marc-Antoine Gaudin. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Bob?
Good. What happened here?
Well, listen, the Canadians, they expected at the beginning of the season that there might be growing pains with so many new faces on that team, but they started off like they stormed out of the gate. Everything was great, but this team has been struggling. You know, they missed the playoffs a few years in a row now, and I think that the play in the bubble was really I wouldn't call it necessarily a mirage, but it gave certainly great deal of hope to the general manager, Marc Bergevin, who made a ton of new acquisitions. And he thought, yeah, I'm giving you, Claude, the best roster you've had as a head coach of the Montreal Canadiens. I understand that you're going to go through an adjustment period, but this team needs to win. But it's the opposite that we saw. They started off strong, and now they started sliding. And this is a team that had, you know, two stretches of eight games winless last year. I think that Marc Bergevin wanted to make sure that the same thing would not happen this year.
Mark, for the course of the last decade plus, Jack Michaels, we now have two radio play-by-play voices that work with me, but Jack Michaels and myself have been duking it out, Marc-Andre Fleury versus Carey Price. It ain't close this year. Fleury might be the best goaltender in the NHL. Carey Price is being outplayed by Jake Allen. How much of this is just the fact that Price is sitting with a sub-900 save percentage?
Well, there's no doubt that Price's performances are affecting the team, but at the same time, when you look, you know, the last few games, the last few starts, he gave up some really bad goals, and that was really apparent last night against the Ottawa Senators. But for the most part, I mean, he got this record, that save percentage, and all that, because of defensive structure that was defective in front of him, a lot of bad bounces. It was not necessarily that he was doing some poor goaltending. I mean, he made some great saves night after night. But the issue is, you know, there's always that extra save that you're looking for, and that's what he was not providing them. And now all of a sudden, what you see sneaking in is those bad goals that start, you know, creeping even more as performances. And last night, I mean, the team struggled hard to, you know, to stay in that game. They even took the lead in the third period, and Price really gave the softie to Brady Tkachuk. So that was tough. But you're right when you say that Jake Allen has outplayed him so far this season. I don't know if Dominique Ducharme, who's replacing Claude Julien, will change the way that they split the duties between the two goaltenders.
From the Athletic in Montreal, Marc-Antoine Gaudin, Bob Stauffer with you on Oilers Now. You mentioned Dominique Ducharme. This guy has been sort of the rising star, kind of like how maybe Guy Boucher was about 10 years ago. Certainly, you know, a lot of, you know, reporters such as yourself have been telling me about him for a while. I know Andre Brin, who worked for Hockey Canada, is a big fan of his as well. He worked for the Oilers the last 4 years. This doesn't have to be an interim thing, does it? I mean, I'm just somebody just sent me the book on who the next full-time head coach is, and a lot of people have Ducharme in the one or two hole. Is it an entire possibility that he is not the short-term solution, but Ducharme could very well be the long-term solution?
Oh well, absolutely. I mean, the day that they brought him in, I think that they had not necessarily a heir apparent, but certainly a possible successor in Claude Julien. So he was not necessarily waiting in the wings, because you know Dominique has been an assistant coach throughout his coaching career. So he was not just a head coach in waiting. But the Canadians, I think, saw enough in him as saying, well, if we give him a taste of the NHL as an assistant, and he gets comfortable in that group, we could see him as a candidate. But what's interesting, so right now he's on an interim basis. We'll know very shortly if it's just for a few games until they find their real guy, or if it's until the end of the season, which I think is more likely. But the fact that they keep him as an interim, I think it enables the Canadiens to remain keep their options open, because for the first time, I'm sure, Bob, that you're well aware of the issue with the French language component when it comes to the head coach of the Canadiens. But for the first time in forever, they've got a great pool of potential coaches. They don't have to recycle their old coaches anymore. That new generation of Quebec coaches that has come in is providing the Canadiens with at least half a dozen of quality candidates there.
Did that issue and look, it's the province has a set of rules. We're not going to get into a political debate here. You and me have had we've had a chuckle on it in the past, because we can look at things from marginally different perspectives, not from far left and far right perspectives on it. I get it. I mean, it is it's the language of choice in that province. Did that preclude a guy like Kirk Muller being an option on an interim basis?
Well, you know what? I thought that Kirk was the number one candidate to be the interim guy if Claude Julien was to get fired during the season. The problem with Kirk Muller is not only is he at the end he's at the last year of his contract, but he was responsible for the last few years of the power play, and the power play in Montreal has been abysmal. The last 11 games, the power play works at a 6.9% rate. And the last two seasons before, it was only marginally better. So I think that the Canadians were looking for Kirk Muller, provided with guys like Tyler Toffoli and Josh Anderson coming in the fold. They were looking at him to really find new ideas and bring that power play come to life, but it hasn't been the case. So I think that if the power play had worked better, Muller would probably have been, identified, maybe not a long-term successor, but for the interim job until the end of the season, more possibly the candidate of choice.
All right. Let me ask you two more questions here. Are we having this conversation if that goal counts last night for Gallagher? Because I thought it should have counted. And yeah, I'm a little biased, right? I like the player. the family's a legendary family out of Edmonton Southeast side. He's the type of player, they even like him in Boston. I know they hate him at times, but deep down inside, they like him. And I don't know how, there was a goal scored by Tkachuk in the last week that counted against the Oilers, and I'm watching this one that didn't count last night. I'm going, how does that not? That's the same play. Were you a little bit surprised, covering that game, that that's not a goal?
I was, but after the game, Gallagher complained about the lack of consistency from the NHL, and I think that he's spot on, because he said, listen, we're watching video prior to the season that explains us clearly what's a goal and what's not. I have an example that pops up in my head right now as to the exact same play that we just lived, and that other play was a goal, and this time around it's not. Why is that? So it's that lack of consistency that's been really frustrating. That being said, I mean, the Canadians were lucky to get out of that game with a point, let alone if that goal had counted, it might have masked the fact that they were not the better team on the ice against the Senators. But to your point, I mean, it's baffling that from one video review to another, we don't seem to have the same set of rules and criteria.
Final question for you, Mark. Quebec's 8.4 million people. The Canadians, of all the teams in the NHL, they get it the worst when it comes to revenue sharing. Their TV deal is fantastic. They've got huge numbers. Did money play a factor in the ability of Mark Bergevin to make this move? Could there be some other organizations that are a little bit more hamstrung that maybe couldn't afford just to dismiss a $5 million a year coach at this time?
Well, the Canadians had so much invested into this season. Mark Bergevin had said, not only do we want to make the playoffs, we want to make damages in the playoffs, that he puts a lot of stock into this season. So I think that trumps any other criteria, as long as Jeff Molson is on board with it. You mentioned the fact that, yes, that's true, that the Canadians have more financial flexibility than other teams, although they've been hit hard as an organization, not only on the hockey level, but at the entertainment business too, for the last year. But let's not forget that for now, I mean, unless there is a new head coach that appears out of the blue in 2 weeks, Dominique Deschamps remains an internal candidate. So it's not like somebody new that's added to the payroll. So it's just a matter of paying Claude Julien this year and next year and Kirk Muller for the remainder of the season. That's a lot of money, but this team desperately needs wins.
When the Canadians came out west, they skunked the Oilers in those two games. They beat them 5-1, 3-1. It was not close. If you had told me, 6 weeks later that this would have occurred, I would have said not a chance. It's interesting times. We'll talk again, Mark. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Take care.
You bet. That is Marc-Antoine Gaudin from The Athletic out of Montreal. Does great work. He's worked a long time in that market, and The Athletic and James Myrtle and the group were very intelligent to bring him aboard. Do want to mention to you, here on Oilers Now, you can tune in all day at the 6:30 Ched hashtag Heart Pledge Day for the University Hospital Foundation. Listen live until 6 p.m. tonight to hear local healthcare heroes and patients share their personal stories. You can donate at heartpledgeday.ca or call 780-900-1047. We are going to take a quick timeout. We're going to get to NHL today. We're going to hear a comment from Dominic Caron. We're going to get to some of your texts as well. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Mike Smith from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Obviously, it feels great, but we have such a good team. Everyone can play everywhere, you know, so it doesn't matter where you play, but obviously, I'm happy I'm back there. And yeah, the goals. We were actually talking with Leon and Yamo that we can step up our game a little bit. We have to be more confident, and I think we showed that today. We had a good game.
That is Dominic Caron. He had two goals last night. Kotter Yamamoto was involved sort of hunting pucks and chasing pucks. On the second one, got a stick in on Thatcher Demko. Drysdale was just dealing. That's all there was to say. And look, he's missed practices. He's missed morning skates. That's atypical for him. He's a guy so he's obviously dealing with something. But still, how about the setup, the change, the alteration that the Edmonton Oilers made on the power play in the third period? They've gone with the Tyson Barrie right shot power play as a defenseman. They switched it up. They put Nurse out there, and I think it was five puck touches in a span of 4 seconds. Kevin Karius pointed that out last night on Twitter. Just bing, 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 boom, and it was in the net. It was absolute beauty. They just crossed them up, and it's funny because Oscar Clav, the team had the best power play last year in basically the last 40 years in the NHL. Okay, and Klefbom, I don't think anybody really thinks of him as an ace on the power play, but he's like a really good point guard that knows where to distribute the ball. And some would say, well, when you got Nugent Hopkins and McDavid in the 1-3-1 formations on the hashes, and then Drysdale is the middle bumper, you can make some plays. I was a gorgeous power play goal last night for Edmonton. As promised, we're going to go into NHL today for our friends at Elite Promotional Marketing. Company branded apparel, products, and awards, all created in-house. Shop local at ElitePromoMarketing.com. Big part of the show back in the 630 Chad Studios. And here is Brendan Escott.
All 7 scheduled games are a go tonight. The lone North Division action taking place out in Toronto. The Maple Leafs hosting the Flames. That's a 5 p.m. puck drop Ched time. Myers, as we just heard, in a tough month of February, Claude Julien, Kirk Muller, both relieved of coaching duties out in Montreal. Dominic Ducharme, one-time Canadian World Junior head coach, will move from assistant coach to interim bench boss. Frank Zeravalli also pointing out on Twitter, they just went from the sixth oldest coaching staff in the league, or the coach, excuse me, head coach in the league, to the sixth youngest. Montreal losing six of eight after a hot start there. Anton Roussel fined $5,000, the max allowable by the CBA, for that roughing incident on Jesse Puljujärvi last night. He did get 2 minutes on the play that drew blood. San Jose Sharks canceling practice today without really revealing any more details as to why. Their farm team, San Jose Barracuda, welcoming in the Bakersfield Condors to town tomorrow night for Bako's lone game this week. They're looking for their third win this year. Excuse me. And then Friday, it is the start of the WHL season. The Oil Kings welcoming the Lethbridge Hurricanes to the downtown community arena. It's the front half of a home-and-home series.
We will tell you that we'll have Oil Kings general manager Kurt Hill on the show on Friday. John Shannon, we moved... Actually, he moved himself off today's show to attend to a matter, but he will be joining us on Friday as well. So too will Mark Spector and Elliot Friedman tomorrow. Kevin Weeks from the NHL Network, along with Louis DeBrusque and Edmonton sporting icon George LaRocque. In the next hour of the show, Mike Babcock, the new head coach of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies, as well as David Staples from the Cult of Hockey. Now, I asked you, how are the Oilers getting it done here during the 10-2 run here? What's going on? Let's bang off some texts on our Ashley Fine Floors text line at 1252 in Edmonton. Jeff in Red Deer says, Bob, the Oilers are winning because their bottom six is not a negative, and they hedge their bets on Connor and Leon, and turns out that works about 80% of the time. Again, you can text us at any time at 780-496-0063. Shane says, Bob, what was with Antoine Roussel suckering Puljujärvi, and will he be held accountable from an Oiler other than Ryan Nugent-Hopkins? I'm glad, says Shane, that JP still played his game after that. I don't know how that's not a double minor. I mean, Matthew Tkachuk knew it was coming from Zach Cassian the first time in 17-18, and, you know, that's when he turtled. And Cassian got a double minor for roughing. Like, you punch a guy in the face, it's a double minor, and then you get fined. That's kind of how it works. In terms of retribution, last night wasn't the night to do it because Edmonton was chasing the game at that time. You know, these things often get solved over time. The Oilers don't have Zach Cassian in the lineup, and that's perhaps a guy that can do that. Last year, we should mention that Darnell picked apart Antoine Roussel quite decisively. Roussel has found a way to stay in the league a long time. He plays on the edge. If he's on your team, you like him most of the time. I know he was getting hammered last night by Vancouver fans for that sequence of plays. If you're on the opposition team, he's probably not one of your favorite guys from around the league. Oilers GM says, Bob, the Oilers are for real. I can't wait for the day that we take out the Leafs in the North Finals, and that'll shut all the Eastern media up. Wow, Oilers GM. We've been real for 2 years now. The Chicago series was an anomaly. We're on the cusp of something special. Get ready for the ride and enjoy it. I would say right now Edmonton is probably an 8-16 team. Now, we should remember that in 16-17, they finished with 103 points. They were 8th in the league in goals for, 8th in the league in goals against. Okay, they were a pretty good team that year. Cam Talbot was terrific. He played a lot. They did not build upon that. There were some decisions made over a couple seasons where they traded away a lot of skill in their top six and got a little bit heavy. I think, in fairness, the guy that made some of those decisions is part of the reason why today Edmonton has a chance to be a pretty good team in the next couple of years. Because some of the defensemen that the Oilers, and that's the biggest difference to me, is the homegrown defense that the Oilers have is going to change the complexion of things. Again, 780-496-0063. Bob, I read today Vegas is getting fans on March the 1st. When do we have a chance to go to a game? Is that, Brendan, did you just say that? I'm sorry. If you mentioned that. We'll see. In terms of, you know, it's a provincial jurisdiction. I haven't looked at the – maybe I can get the chiseler out of Vegas to text me on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, but I know that they've had way more cases, a way higher death rate, all those sort of things in Clark County than we've had here in Northern Alberta. And it's you know, devastating what's happened with COVID-19. By the way, just so you're aware, we're close to about 10,000 active cases in Edmonton back in the middle of, this is in the Edmonton Health Zone, back in the middle of December, in around that time, sometime between December 8th and December 15th, 10,000 active cases currently, as of yesterday, below 1,000 active cases. So there's some update for you. Hi, Bob. How about this if Ryan Nugent-Hopkins won't sign? Nugent Hopkins and Turris for Josh Anderson. Montreal needs centers, and I think they can pay Nuge whatever he wants. I love Josh Anderson. Let's just see how things play out here with Nugent Hopkins. I know that Ryan Rashog has reported there's a fit there. Elliot Friedman saying that's his belief that Nugent Hopkins desires to remain in Edmonton. Let's just see if that ultimately comes to fruition. Another texter says, Bob, if the Oilers are playing this well in an empty arena, I can't wait to see how good the boys will play when the arena is packed full of energetic cheering. I know one player that I believe that will play better when he comes back, and that's Zach Cassian. He's a guy, to me, that, and hey, he's helped whip up the crowd, too. Think of those of you listening right now that were at Game 2 against San Jose in 2017. Cassian might have been the best player on the ice, him and Cam Talbot, in Game 2 and Game 3 of that series against San Jose. And I'll tell you, from a broadcaster's perspective, we miss the fans. They're a massive part of this thing. 780-496, you're a massive part of this thing. Can't wait for the three-game matchup between the Leafs and the Oilers to see how the two teams compare right now, says another texter. Marcus says, Bob, given the size of Winnipeg, Montreal, and Calgary, I hope we add a little bit of size for the playoffs. What do you think from Marcus? There's different ways to win. Not sure it's always been the modus operandi of the general manager. Think about how Detroit played when they were really good competitively. Quick, fast, tempo, puck support, all those sort of things. Again, you can text us 780-496-0063. Bob, can we talk about trading Oscar Klefbom when he's healthy? Is that too early? Let's just find a way to get Oscar Klefbom healthy. Let's see what happens here. Corey and Spruce says, hi, guys. The leadership on the Oilers is finally catching up to the talent. There's three, it's been three guys with some support guys, but it's McDavid, Drysdale, and Nurse. These guys have been pretty good this year. All right, we're going to go back into a feature here at this time. I just have to pull up this baby for you. Is we go into the Oilers Now Injury Report, brought to you daily by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Trent Brown, huge Oilers fan, like Jim Brown. And Trent was a fantastic football player back in the day, as many of you know, for the double E football team, two-time CFL All-Star, 93 Grey Cup champion, arguably the best Golden Bear football player of all time. Here's Brendan Escott.
Okay, Bear and Lagesson remaining day-to-day for the Oilers. Cassian Cuckoo on the long-term injured reserve. We know Klefbom's out for the year. Bruins defenseman Jeremy Lauzon broke his left hand. He'll be reevaluated in 4 weeks. Both Jacob Markstrom and Freddie Anderson are questionable for Calgary and Toronto, I guess. You know what? No, Riddick was in the starters night. Starters net at morning skate, so there's a pretty good indication there. Markstrom's got an upper body issue. Michael Hutchinson will start again for Toronto. Other than that, Flyers captain Claude Giroux set to return from a lengthy spell on the COVID list, kept him along with many others out of that game at Lake Tahoe.
When we come back at 105, Mike Babcock, the new head coach of the Saskatchewan Huskies, off to a global news weather traffic update. Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.